I'm Heidi Moore of Marketplace, in for Brian Lehrer. We all know the story about how New York attracts artistic talent. A young kid moves here with a couple $100s and an artistic dream of using his iPhone to hit it rich. Well, that may not be the prevailing narrative now, but it could be. The iPhone is the most popular camera in the U.S., and it's given rise to iPhoneography, amateurs and professionals using their iPhones to create artistic pictures. It's a popular pursuit for me, and particularly as photo sharing sites like Instagram take off for many other people in New York and around the country. There are even online and physical gallery shows. Our next guest is Dan Burkholder. He's a photographer who works not with a camera all the time, but an iPhone. And he's here to talk to us about all the newly minted New York artistes who use the device. Dan, welcome.
Hi, Heidi, and thanks for inviting me.
Good to have you here. So you teach a class at the International Center of Photography. What's the name of it? Tell us about that.
Well, it's iPhone Artistry, and one of the thrusts of the class is really to help students develop their personal workflow, what I often describe as an app dance, because we're never going to have Photoshop per se on the iPhone, but we have these niche applications, one that'll give us better texturizing, one better sharpening, one better contrast control. So as we move from app to walk the image in the direction of our vision, that's sort of a dance that we do, and that's what I try to reinforce with the students so they can develop their own personalized dance steps.
So how do you elevate an iPhone picture from just a snapshot, even a pretty snapshot, to something that's artistic?
Well, we're going through, you know, I like to compare it to when the first sepia toning kits were probably made available by Kodak or Ed Waller, one of those proud marks in classic photography. You know that when those sepia toning kits, those chemical kits, first became available, we had a plethora of warm tone prints showing up in camera club meetings and even in photo studios for portraiture. So we're sort of going through the same thing right now with the iPhone. There is a tendency to try all the filters and apply them. Just as a matter of fact, yesterday, Heidi, I juried a photo contest at the Darkroom Gallery up in Vermont. Great show. Had to whittle it down, like one out of every nine images submitted finally got into the show. Just stunning work. But we are seeing a lot of the border effects, a lot of the filters, and that's part of the fun of this new medium. But I think what we're witnessing now that it's been 5 years since the iPhone burst onto the scene, and the iPhone, though there have been other platforms, really legitimized and empowered our whole cell phone photography methods, we're seeing a certain maturity starting to surface in the medium. And that's pretty exciting. So we don't just whack it with filters, but we learn, like, for instance, stitching, where we create panoramas on even not just wide panoramas, but we stitch vertically and horizontally to create these vistas that just can't exist in a single exposure with other cameras.
Right. So Instagram doesn't sound like it's the only way. What are some of the other popular apps that people use?
Oh, gosh. Well, of course, Hipstamatic is a popular one. It's gotten so popular that, of course, now there's like an anti-Hipstamatic backlash going on of sorts. But we also have things like FilterStorm that give us this amazing ability to say if you want to do a gradient burn to darken a sky that's too light in your iPhone capture, that you can very gently and realistically darken that sky. We have other apps like PhotoForge 2 that give us layers, and for your listeners that may work with Photoshop, you know that layers are one of our primary building blocks. Well, now, believe it or not, for just a couple bucks, we can have that power in our hand on our iPhone or iPad.
And, well, these apps that you talked about do make things easy. I use some of them myself, but some people are worried that they make it too easy, and maybe it leads to a lot of bad art. I mean, yesterday we had a really pretty sunset, and somebody snarkily said on Twitter, I would like to enjoy this sunset, but I dread seeing all the pictures of it on Instagram. And, of course, we have the trend where there are a lot of pictures that look like they were taken in 1972, even though they were taken last Tuesday. So how about the quality of this iPhone art?
Well, that's the downside to any fad, and we're going through that faddish phase of these filter effects. Someone used the pejorative term of slamming an image with different filter effects on the iPhone, and that's the danger. But I always like to point out that, you know, we got to go through this phase. You know, the medium's only 186 years old, and 5 years is a pretty short bite of that. So we're right now in this adolescent phase where people are testing the waters. They're trying these apps. Yes, they are slamming a lot of filters onto things, but the good's going to rise to the surface. And, you know, there's I always caution students and colleagues, there's no virtue to difficulty. We're never in any artistic medium looking for the most difficult way to do things. And sometimes there are people, and I still work in the classic darkroom. I actually take off some of my iPhone images and take those back into the wet darkroom and print them as handmade platinum palladium prints. So I still have my feet in both the digital and the iPhonography and the classic wet darkroom world. But you're not going to score any points just because you did something the hard way. There's got to be a reason. The final image has to sing and have some soul and spirit to it.
Can you make money this way? I mean, if you sell a gallery picture made of an iPhone print, how much would you get for it?
Gosh, that's kind of a touchy issue. I'll tell you, in auctions, I've had some iPhone images, and this sounds like I'm boasting, but it really entertains me more than anything else. Go for over $100 a square inch.
Wow.
And now these are small little precious platinum palladium over hand applied 24 karat gold leaf prints. But people don't care that it started as an iPhone image. They just care about the image and the print. And is there value? Is there beauty? Is there intrigue?
Right. Well, so it's convenient for the user. Clearly buyers are interested. But what does it do to other photographers? Do you find that professional art photographers bristle a little about the iPhone?
Of course. And in photography, we've always bristled about everything new that comes along. That's the nature of our insecurity. I think photographers, first of all, always feel kind of guilty that they're not really painters. And everyone feels guilty that they're not the thing that came before. But I always say, look, if you don't like change, don't pick photography as your medium. You should pick something like pottery. Now, I've probably just offended a whole group of pottery people out there. But except for the advent of the electric potter's wheel, there hasn't been any dynamic changes, nothing compared certainly to photography. And digital and iPhonography, I mean, let's face it, it's not going to be the last thing in photography. We may be sculpting images with gamma rays in a few years. That's just the nature of our medium. It's always changing. That's part of the fun. And I always like to compare it to an amusement park ride. There are three ways you can approach it. You can be afraid of the rides, and you can avoid the amusement park altogether. You can sort of stand off on the sidelines and watch other people having fun, but be a little too timid to get on. Or you can get on the ride and enjoy it and have the thrills and throw your hands up in the air. And I think the third course of action, and what a lot of people are doing with iPhonography right now, is definitely the way to go. And we'll work through all the immature and overdone filter effects, and then we'll have a medium that has its own voice.
Well, it's certainly more convenient than keeping gamma rays in our pockets. Dan Burkholder, thank you very much. You've been a great guest. My guest was Dan Burkholder. He teaches iPhone artistry at the International Center of Photography. You can see some of his work at danburkholder.com. And I'm Heidi Moore of Marketplace, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. I'll be back here tomorrow, and I hope to see you there. Please tune in.